Our identity, who we are, says a lot about our life. It speaks into so much about our life, what we do, where we go, how we behave. If I were to ask you, who are you? You'd probably give me your name and where you're from. It could be a city, it could be a state, depending on the situation, it might be the country. You may give me just a little bit of background on your education, but your employment is probably certainly part of who you are, so you'd probably share that with me as well. Everything is tied up in who we are. Back in October 2017, my wife and I went to India, and our identity changed. We had to become something different than we've ever been before. We had to become business people. I've never done that before in my life. Neither has my wife. We were the CEOs or directors of a small business that we started. It was a language center. These are employees. The Indian folks are employees there. Transformation Learning Center, and English, French, and Hindi were taught at this center. I ran the business, I did the finances, I did the banking, the payroll, and the inventory, and the purchasing, and I oversaw the employees, and my wife and I taught language classes there. But we had to establish ourselves as business people in order to be recognized there as doing business. We had to establish our credibility with the government as well as with our neighbors and employees and students. Now, in the midst of that, then, we build relationships as a means to share Christ with others. Now, you can't use the term missionary there. It's got a very, very negative connotation, as it does oftentimes right here in the States and in many different countries. So we had to go as business people. Now, this identity change was really hard for some of our younger international workers as they came out to join us, especially for the first single gal that came to join us. In an age where everything is put out there on social media, to when you get up and when you put your socks on and whatever, people just tend to say everything about your life. She felt that in order to build a good relationship with people, you've got to say everything. You've got to tell everything, everything about yourself. You had to be totally honest. In her mind, we were missionaries. I mean, we were sent by the Christian and what? Missionary Alliance. She felt like she was lying if she couldn't share that aspect as well. Now, I told each one of our new international workers as they came out to join our work that God had called us, yes, through the Christian and Missionary Alliance, but God had called us to be business people and to do business well. And by doing business well, then we were able to build friends. And as we built friends, God would open those doors of conversation to be able to share the spiritual truth and share Christ with them as well. But until they accepted who they were called to be, it was really, really hard to be effective. Now, we've all changed our identity from time to time. Oftentimes, it's in the role of employment. Sometimes, it's single, getting married. There's a lot of different ways that our identity changes sometimes. In the last 2 years, a year and a half probably, my identity has changed three times. I was a business person. Then we came back to the States. Now I was officially an international worker going from church to church doing missionary tours as we shared in missionary conferences. And now I'm a pastor. So my role has changed. My identity has changed. But understanding our role, understanding who we are, determines what we do, how we do it, where we do it, and where we go, how we behave. Now, this all speaks into why we need to know who we are in Christ. We've been talking about getting to know Christ. I want to know Christ. So as we've gotten to know Him, and as that continues, it's a lifetime of learning, we need to find out who we are. Why do we need to know that? Well, we need to know that so we can live our life as God intended and to fulfill our destiny. Yes, we are destined by God's will. He's got a will. He's got a plan for each one of our lives. And the more we agree with God about, or the more we accept our identity in Christ, the more our behavior will begin to reflect our God-given identity. Now, we need to learn to see ourselves as God sees us. After all, God's opinion is the only one that matters, right? First, we need to accept what God says about us. Secondly, we need to agree with Him that it's true of us. And then we need to become that spiritual person that we are, that God has already made us to be. And this will give us a strong foundation to build our life, to build our spiritual life, to build our to grow in our maturity in our relationship with Christ. Knowing who we are in Jesus is a key to a successful Christian life and a life lived on purpose to accomplish God's will. Now, it's important to understand that our identity does not depend on something we do or something we have done. Our true identity is who God says we are. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that Debbie read just before I came up, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Now, there's a prerequisite of becoming a new creation, of having this new identity, and that is we need to follow Christ. And that's kind of what we've been talking about for the past number of weeks. We need to know Christ initially as our Savior. We need to accept Him as our Savior, realize that we cannot be in control anymore, and then get to know Him as our Lord by giving our life completely, totally to Him and becoming submissive to Him, totally submitted to the Lord. But once we follow Jesus, we become a new creation. The old you passes away, and you become who you are in Him. The changes we experience as we accept Christ are so radical that we are considered brand new. The word Paul uses here for new creation is a Greek word kainos, which means something just made, which is unlike anything else in existence. Wow. It's like being created, and just as the world was created in the very beginning, the day that the world was first created. We're not cleaned up, we're not covered over, we're not repainted, we're not refurbished. We're a new creation, brand spanking new. And the newness manifests itself then in our spiritual condition, in our relationships, in our hearts, in our lives. And we need to stop living out of who other people may think we are, or who other people have said perhaps that we are, or even who we might feel we are. And we need to take hold of the truth of God's Word. We need to find out what God says about us, and then agree with Him. So who are we in Christ? Well, spiritually, in Christ, we are alive for the first time. We've talked about that in the past few weeks. Ephesians 2:1 describes the old self as dead in our trespasses and sin. And our new self is at peace with God, Paul says, and alive in Christ. We've talked about that as well. But in addition, God has conformed us to His image and releases us from condemnation. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Isn't that amazing? For those who are in Christ Jesus. In our relationship with God, we're no longer enemies. We're His children. Romans 3:10-11 describes the old self. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. In Romans 5:10, it describes the old self as enemies of God. That's harsh. But before we knew Christ, we were enemies of God. But listen to this prophet, this prophecy in Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. This, I can't say I've never read it before, but it never struck me before. It was amazing. It predicts a change of God's heart towards us. He says, I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. God had this planned out way ahead of time. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it announces the arrival of our new position in Christ, where it says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." We are His children, the children of God, no longer enemies. Then regard to other believers, in Christ we are part of a family. Where once we were strangers and aliens, Paul described it, we are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The old self alone is alone, but Paul tells us that the new is part of one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Not only a part, but an irreplaceable part of a cohesive whole worldwide. It's a huge family. And in our own personal lives, having this new heart means our character changes. We become less concerned about the world and more concerned with living as God intends us to live. We care more about others and less about ourselves. But our heart changes, our character changes, sometimes are gradual. It takes, the Lord keeps working on us, doesn't He? And we possess a new heart. Even Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 tells us that we possess a new heart. But we need to be intentional in training it. Listen to what Peter says. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, godliness, and to godliness," perseverance, "to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." Then he goes on and says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is only possible because of the new self, and that the new self has been released from sin and death and is now free to follow God. Now, I'm going to give you something today that's going to be a little bit overwhelming. And that's a good thing. Don't bother taking notes. It'll drive you crazy. I've got a list at the back of the sanctuary as you walk out. But I want you to sit back and be overwhelmed by God's love, His grace, His majesty, and what He's done for us. So, as a new creation in Christ, here's what we can say. I am God's possession. I'm God's child. I'm His workmanship. I'm His friend. I'm His temple. I'm God's vessel. I'm His co-laborer. I'm God's witness. I'm His soldier. I'm God's ambassador. I'm His building. I'm His field. I'm His minister and instrument. I'm God's chosen. I'm His beloved. I'm God's precious jewel. I'm His heritage. And I have been, what? Redeemed by the blood. Set free from sin and condemnation. I've been set free from Satan's control, set free from Satan's kingdom. I've been chosen before the foundation of the world. I've been predestined to be like Jesus. I've been forgiven of all my trespasses. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been given a sound mind. I've been given the Holy Spirit. I've been adopted into God's family. I've been justified freely by His grace. I've been given all things pertaining to life. I've been given great and precious promises. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I've been given authority over the power of the enemy. I've been given wisdom. I've been given access to God. And because of that, listen to this, I am complete in Him. I'm free forever from sin's power. I am sanctified. I'm useful to the Master. I am loved eternally. I'm eternally kept in the palm of His hand. I'm kept from falling. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm not condemned. I'm one with the Lord. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm alive by His mighty power. I'm seated in the heavenly places. I'm the head and not the tail. I am a light in the darkness. I'm a candle in the dark place. I am a city set on a hill. I am salt of the earth. I am a sheep. I am a citizen of heaven. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am protected from the evil one. I am kept by the power of God. I am secure in Christ. I am set on a rock. I am more than a conqueror. I'm born again. I'm a victor. I'm healed by His stripes. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm sheltered under His wing. I'm hidden in the secret place. of the Almighty. Therefore, I have access to the Father. I am home in heaven. I have a home in heaven waiting for me. I have all things in Christ. I have a living hope. I have an anchor to my soul. I have a hope that is sure and steadfast. I have authority to tread on serpents. I have power to witness. I have a well-instructed tongue. I have the mind of Christ. I have boldness and access. I have peace with God. And I have faith as a grain of mustard seed. With this in mind, I can do all things through Christ. I can find mercy and grace to help. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can quench all the fiery darts. I can tread on the serpent. I can declare liberty to captives. I can pray always and everywhere. I can rout 1,000 enemies. I can overcome the enemy, and I can tread Satan underfoot. And I cannot be separated from God's love. I cannot perish or be lost. I cannot be moved. I cannot be taken out of my Father's hand. I cannot be changed or accused. And I cannot be condemned. Amen. Wow. This is who we are in Christ, folks. You may say, yeah, but I don't feel like it. That doesn't matter. We don't need to feel anything. It doesn't depend on our feelings. God's truth is God's truth. We need to learn to accept who we are in Christ and confess it out loud. The enemy does not like us to confess these things out loud because it's in his face because he is defeated. And we are this because of what Christ has done for us and who we are in Christ. I am what God says I am, regardless of how I feel about myself. My feelings cannot change the absolute truth of God's word. I suggest that you spend some time on this list. And like I said, there's a list in the back as you go out. It's got all the scripture references for each one of those truths that we read. Spend some time, look up those verses. It'd be great for a life group sometime to start going through some of those scriptures to understand who we are. Read it out loud. Read it with authority. Read it like you mean it, because it's the truth. That's part of being transformed by the renewing of your minds. We need to get God's word and start understanding, not depending on what the world is saying about us or what we feel that we are. We need to take God's truth and allow that to renew our minds, change our minds, transform our minds. We need to get our minds in tune with the truth of God's word. The more we know who we are in Christ, the more our behavior then will reflect our true identity. Understanding our identity in Christ is crucial to living life as God intended. Become who you already are in Christ. God wants to do more in your life than you can ever imagine. Over the next number of months, years, we're going to be hitting on a lot of these things. And we'll be able to come back to this message over and over again, because these truths are throughout Scripture. And as we learn more about that, as we begin touching more on these points, together we're going to be transformed as God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we can understand more and more, not only of who we are, but how He wants us to become and what He wants us to do. And God's then going to use us to accomplish His will in our neighborhoods, in the larger area of Sile, Dexter, Ann Arbor. I'm still trying to figure out which directions they are. Dexter, Ann Arbor, right? Okay, thanks. but the whole area and beyond that. But the transformation has to change from within. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, this morning, we just want to thank you for who you are, because you're a God who has done so much for us. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving, but my goodness, Got to think I should have given this list before Thanksgiving. We could have been so much more thankful for all that you have done for us. It is overwhelming. It's so easy for us to believe the lies that come into our minds that we are weak, that we're just sinners, that we have so much that needs to be changed in our lives, and there's no way God can really use us. And it's so easy to start believing those lies, and then as we believe those lies, we become totally ineffective. Father, I pray that you'd help us to stand on your word and proclaim out loud who we are and believe it in our hearts and then move forward. And Father, I pray that you would change our minds, change our hearts, change our attitudes, change our behavior. And Father, then your Holy Spirit, by his power that is within us, is going to work. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.